Thankful for another time of worship, another time to gather together. And by your providence, you brought us here. And Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us through the scripture, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate, and that we might learn more and more about thee, Lord. And we pray you be glorified and magnified today in the preaching and in the singing and in our fellowship too, Lord. And may we give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be continuing our Christ Is series, and today we'll be looking at Christ Is Our Redemption. Christ Is Our Redemption. 1 Corinthians, I'd like to read the context of the verse. We'll start in verse 18, and we'll go all the way down to verse 30, and it'll just be the first part of, the one section of verse 30 that we'll look at. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Gentile, so that's the elect of God, that's the body of Christ, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath called the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So today is our continuation of the Christ Is series, and I'd like us to look at how Christ is our redemption. Christ is our redemption. Look at verse 30, but of him, and we'll take the first part of the verse and add the last. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, and then look at the last, who of God is made unto us redemption. We know he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, but I like to look at how he's made unto us redemption. He's made us unto us redemption. Now in this verse we have precious, precious doctrine. And it all centers around Christ Jesus our Lord. It all centers around him. Precious truth that Jesus Christ is made of God unto his people. Those who in the scripture are called the elect, that he has made unto us redemption. He's made unto us redemption. Now the definition in the Greek for the word redemption is a deliverance. A deliverance. A releasing effected by payment of a ransom. A releasing effected by the payment of a ransom. Liberation secured by the payment of a ransom. And a ransom. So it's a freeing of those who are in bondage. It's a freeing of those who are held captive. And he is our liberation. He's our freedom. And we looked at that one time before. Christ is our freedom. Now I want us to consider this fact that we never in our natural state sought redemption. In our natural state, we never sought redemption, although it was the one thing we needed. And we never sought it. We never sought it. We need to be redeemed, because in our fallen state of sin, we're dead in trespasses and sins. And think of this, we were blind to redemption in Christ. We were absolutely blind in our natural state to the redemption that is in Christ. We were blind to the law and justice of God. Did you ever consider the law and justice of God before the Lord revealed Christ to you? I didn't. I didn't even know anything about it, to be honest with you, except the Ten Commandments were called the law. That's the only thing I knew. But I didn't know that God had a strict justice that must be upheld, in a holy law that must be fulfilled. I had no clue. No clue at all. God teaches His people this. And we were blind. We were even blind to the things of God. We thought we knew who God was. But we had no clue who He was. We were blind to the things of God. We were blind to the God of the Scriptures. And we were blind to the Scriptures. We had no idea. Now think of this. And this will bless your soul. Everything that you know now, you've been taught of God. He's taught you all the things you know about Christ. So we can't boast in that either, can we? We give Him all the glory for everything. And it's absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. We who believe on Christ have been shown that we could never ransom ourselves, that we could never pay the redemption price that God required for our souls. We could never pay the redemption price for one of our sins, let alone all the sins that we commit in our lives. We've been showing that, haven't we? We've been showing who we are and what we are. But praise be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ has been made unto we who believe redemption. Redemption. Christ is our redemption. Now what does that mean, that He is our redemption? John Calvin had a wonderful answer to this. He said, He teaches us that He, Christ, is given to us for redemption, by which He means that through His goodness, we are delivered at once from all bondage to sin. Delivered at once from all bondage to sin. Remember the definition too. It is a liberation, a deliverance. And he goes on to say, from all the misery that flows from sin. If it is asked in what way Christ is given to us for redemption, I answer, because He made Himself a ransom. He's a ransom for His people. He's the payment that sets us free. He is made of God redemption for us. And God has ordained this. And God has appointed this. And it flows from all eternity, beloved. And it is marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous. In the fullness of time, God raised Christ up. Christ became a man. He was sent to be the author and the securer of our salvation, the finisher of redemption for His people. And thus He is our Redeemer. Now, why did Christ come into the world? Well, Christ came into the world to redeem us, to purchase our eternal souls. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. He came to save His people from their sins. And Zechariah's song tells us of the incarnate God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer. Look at Zechariah's song here. Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 75. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Look at this. For He hath visited and redeemed His people. God Himself has visited and redeemed His people. The Lord, and think of this. Just as the Lord delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, right? It was He who did that. God Himself has redeemed us by the shedding of His precious blood and delivered us from the bondage of sin. We who are under the blood of Christ are safe, redeemed, blood-bought saints. And look, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. This speaks of Christ. As He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began. They all testified of Christ. They all testified of Him. That we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. But I love that one verse there in verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. God himself has redeemed his people. Christ Jesus, God incarnate in the flesh, has redeemed his people. Now the justice of God had a rightful claim upon all of us, didn't it? It did. It had a rightful claim upon us. Just as it does for all the sons and daughters of Adam. When we came into this world, the justice of God had a rightful claim upon us. Because we're born sinners. And we're sinners by nature and by choice. But Christ has bought us out of the hands of divine justice. By the shedding of his own precious blood. He's purchased us, beloved. He's purchased us. Let us never forget that he purchased us by laying down his life, a ransom for us. God himself did this. God himself hath visited his people, and God himself hath redeemed his people. The Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 20, verse 28. And then put your finger in Ephesians chapter 5. Matthew 20, verse 28. Why did the Son of Man come? Not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but what? But to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He is the redemption price, the shedding of his precious blood. Then turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Christ alone is the only sacrifice that God will accept for the sins of his people. And Christ, the sacrifice of Christ is a sweet-smelling savor to God as our sacrifice. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, the sinless one. Given himself for sinners. He's given himself for us. Why? As an offering and a sacrifice to God. It's God who must be satisfied, right? It's him who must be satisfied. And God is only satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. That's why you hear us continuously say, it's grace and grace and grace alone. You don't mix any works with the grace of God. It's all his work. It's all what he's done. Because only he is a sweet smell and savor to God. Only he. And a sacrifice to God for a sweet smell and savior. He was both priest and sacrifice, beloved. Both priest and sacrifice. Giving his blood as a sacrifice to redeem us, to purchase us. To purchase us. And we are redeemed, delivered. Delivered from bondage by Christ dying for us, by him shedding his precious blood. And we know the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he gave his life for us, laying down his life, offering himself up as a sacrifice for our sins. For our sins. Why? To fully satisfy the demands of God's justice. And beloved, he did it. He did it. My, he's our redemption. Now man can in no way satisfy or redeem himself. We can never make satisfaction for our sins, can we? If someone thinks they can, they're deluded. We can never make satisfaction for our sins before God by any works. All our works are tainted by sin. All of them. But praise be to God, the perfect sinless man, the man Christ Jesus, died upon Calvary's cross for the sins of his people. And he alone atoned for our sins. There's no mixture. And praise be to God. He alone atoned for our sins. And it is in and through Christ that we are now have reconciliation with God. We are reconciled to God. We have peace with God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The covenant of redemption, which was planned and purposed from all eternity, the everlasting covenant. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, isn't he? Scripture declares that. And all those whom the Father hath given Christ in eternity. And that is a number that no man can number. We may be small here, but the elect of God is a number that no man can number. Imagine that. They were all redeemed. Every single one of God's blood-bought saints were redeemed by the Son who paid the ransom price for our deliverance. And he did it all by himself. And we know it's finished because what did he cry? It is finished. That's good news. I don't think I've ever heard any better news than that. That's wonderful. Absolutely. Think of this. He paid the ransom price for us to deliver us from the penalty and from the condemnation of our own sins. And he did it by shedding his own blood and by giving up his own life. He willingly gave up his life. How many of us would give up our lives for someone? For someone who was shaking their fist at? I don't think any of us would. Yet. Oh, remember, he loved us before we loved him. And he's loved us with an everlasting love. And the believer cries, I have found a ransom. I found a ransom. And it's Christ. In Christ alone. He's the ransom for all of God's elect. He has delivered us from sin, from Satan, and from the law of God. It's him. It's him. You talk to religious folks. I was talking to some religious folks this week. And boy, by the sounds of what they say, they have their own power to overcome things. No, we overcome in Christ alone. And we know what we are. We know how we struggle. I found a ransom. Christ, my substitute, who suffered on my behalf at Calvary's tree. He's become our Redeemer, our ransom, our Savior. Now, this redemption was a needed redemption too. Let us never forget. It's a needed redemption. He came to supply all our needs, all our spiritual needs are found in Christ. We were in bondage. He set us free. He set us free. We needed to be saved from our sins. He saved us from our sins. He has redeemed us from all our sins. We needed to be clothed in the perfect righteousness in order to stand before God. He wove that coat of righteousness in his life and in his death. And then it's imputed to us. My. We were prisoners to God's law and justice. Right? We were. We were prisoners to God's law and justice. Shut up in the prison house of sin. Christ alone comes to this earth, buys our freedom from the bondage of sin, from the prison house of sin, pays our ransom, and we're set free. My, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. Think on this. One commentator brought this out. We always hear about distinguishing grace, right? One commentator brought this out. It's distinguishing redemption. Because all that we need, we all need this redemption, but it's denied to some and granted to some. It's even distinguishing. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. And we know this because who did Christ die for? He didn't die for everyone. He died for his sheep, though, didn't he? And he's the one who said that. He's the one who people, when you tell people that Christ didn't die for everyone, but he died for his sheep, they get all upset. Well, that's not fair. If we got what was fair, we'd all go to hell. My. Look what it says here in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Who he proclaimed who he laid his life down for. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And Lord, he had already told the Pharisees, you're not my sheep. Right? He laid down his life for the sheep, beloved. For the sheep. For his people. For all those whom were given to him by the Father in eternity. Now turn, if you would, to Psalm 130. Let us consider some forms of bondage from which the Lord Jesus Christ redeems his people from, delivers his people from. Look at Psalm 130 and then actually put your finger in Revelation chapter 1 too. I'm sorry, I'm going to have you jumping around a little bit here. Psalm 130 in Revelation chapter 1. He redeems us from the bondage of all our iniquities. All of them. But he redeems us from, he's redeemed us from all our sins. Therefore, he redeems us from the bondage of all our iniquities. Look at Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord. There's where our hope is to be. There's where the bride's hope is to be, is in Christ. For with the Lord there is mercy. Outside of Christ, there's no mercy. But in Christ, there's mercy for the believer. And with him is plenteous redemption. Not just redemption, but plenteous redemption. And look at this next marvelous verse. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. He shall redeem his people from all their iniquities. And he did that. And it's wonderful. And then turn to Revelation chapter 1. How did he do that? How does he accomplish this? Look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He's redeemed us from the bondage of all our iniquities. And here is how he did it. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. There's the eternality of God. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that what? Loved us and what? Washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's how he's taken us and released us from the bondage of all our iniquities. Oh, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Shedding of his own precious blood to pay for all my sin. And if you're a believer, for all your sin. My. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. He's redeemed us from the guilt of sin, which causes bondage. The guilt of sin can weigh a man down. But he's redeemed us from the guilt of sin, which causes bondage. And the fear of death. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, and that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, beloved, he's redeemed us from the guilt of sin. He has made righteousness for us. He's our justification. And this is a discharge from the guilt of our sin. It is Christ alone, and in Christ alone, that we have forgiveness of all our sins. And the accepting of us is righteous. God accepts us as righteous in Christ, clothed in his righteousness. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. For the believer, death is but a stepping stone. It's a promotion. We don't fear it like we once did. It's but a passing through. My. Passing through to glory. And it's he who takes us through that. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 8, verse 34. He has redeemed us from the power of sin which kept us in bondage. Because whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And he has redeemed us from the power of sin which kept us in bondage. Now the power of sin at one time had dominion over us. We were slaves to it. Now we still sin, don't we? We sin more than we want to. But it doesn't have the power it once held over us. Look at John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." The servant of sin. And although we still sin again as the redeemed, sin does not have the power over us. Think of this. Now we seek the Lord in repentance when we never did before. when we never did before. Now we mourn over our sin when we never did before. We never did before. What a change has been wrought in the believer by the Holy Spirit of God. We who are born again, now we struggle with sin. One time we drank it like water. Now we struggle. Now we battle. Every single day. Even when we're sleeping, we're sinning, aren't we? My goodness. It's a constant battle. But praise be to God. Now we are aware of our sin. And we repent over our sin. We mourn over our sin. When one time we never did. It never even bothered us. That's a change that's wrought by the Holy Spirit of God and only Him. Now we desire to serve our Lord and glorify Him in our lives. We have been translated from darkness to light, beloved. From the power of Satan unto God. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter 2, verse 4. And now we desire to serve our Lord and to glorify Him in our lives. Now think of that. Did you seek to glorify God before you were born again? No. Not at all. Now we seek to glorify Him. Now we want to serve Him. Now we're thankful to be called the people of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us, look at this again, from all iniquity, all our sin. Not just our past ones, not just our present ones, but also our future ones. Marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. A particular people. Zealous of a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. I always get that word mixed up. Zealous of good works, though. They're zealous. They desire to serve the Lord. A desire to serve Him. Not to gain merit and favor, but out of debt. Out of debt. Oh, what a Redeemer. What He's done for me. And we have been redeemed from the guilt and punishment of sin and the power and dominion of sin, which we once loved, and now we hate it. We hate it. And this is a work of God. This is a work of God. Because only the man who's born again, only the woman who's born again, hates sin. It's incredible. It's incredible what God has done for His people. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Another bondage that the Lord has delivered us from is the curse of the law. The curse of the law. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. And that means everyone. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And we know from Scripture, if you break one law, you broke them all. That's pretty clear there. But that no man is justified by the law. Now, there's still religious folks out there trying to be justified by the law, but the Scripture says right there, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. They will live trusting in Christ, resting in Christ alone. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us. He's purchased us. He's delivered us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So in the verses preceding verse 13, Paul shows the law to be a cursing law. And we saw that. A cursing law. Because of its perfection. And it's a cursing law because of its perfection in our imperfection. See, we can't even fill one thing of the law. Therefore, it condemns us, doesn't it? It condemns us. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, No man can be justified by the law of works. And in this verse, in verse 13, he shows us how we are justified. How we are justified and redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Praise his mighty name. He did it all. He redeemed us. He purchased us. Christ was made a curse for us, dying as our substitute on Calvary's tree. Turn one chapter over to Galatians chapter 4, where see Christ redeems his people who were under the law. And we were all under the law. Look at verse 1 to 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And this is speaking of the believer before he's saved. He's a prince and an heir and don't even know it. And he's subject to the same laws as everyone else. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why did Christ come? To redeem them that were under the law. That's his people. Because we are just like everyone else, every other son of Adam and every other daughter of Adam, right? We are sinners. And so he comes to redeem his elect, to redeem his people from their sins. And we know from John chapter 10, he didn't come and die for everyone. He died for a sheep though, right? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We cry out to God. We all have the same Father, we who are born again. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Note in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When the time appointed by the Father came, when that time was fulfilled, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. The Word of God. The second person of the Trinity. The Lord Jesus Christ. God incarnate in the flesh. The Messiah. He was made of a woman. By the Holy Spirit in the virgin's womb. He was made flesh and he identified with us in every respect. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He felt sorrow. And yet, he was sinless. He was perfect. Made under the law. Under the civil and judicial law as a Jew, under the ceremonial law as a son of Abraham, and under the moral law as the surety of his people. Why? To redeem his people. By meeting and obeying the law in every jot and tittle. By going to the cross and suffering the penalty for our sins. And if you're a believer, let's bring it right home, for my sins. Suffering the penalty of our sins, which were laid upon him. Christ purchased, he bought our freedom. He purchased our freedom. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. And he satisfied fully the justice of God that we might receive the power and privilege to be the sons of God. And Christ alone is our redemption. If Jesus Christ has made of God unto you redemption, then praise God for this. Praise His name. Give Him glory. Give Him all the glory. And take great comfort, too, in this precious truth. Take great comfort that you could never redeem yourself, but Christ has redeemed us. And live with our hearts fixed upon Him, who is our redemption, who is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time that we could spend in Your Word. We pray that we would remember this precious truth through the week, and that we would have it be brought to our minds, and that we would just think upon it and meditate upon it and chew on it, and that it would be a blessing to our soul. Glory to You, Lord Jesus, for the great redemption which You have wrought by the shedding of Your own precious blood for Your people. In Your name we pray. Amen.